I'm really looking forward to TakeOver 31, but if that glitch thing turns out to be Bo Dallas, I may just eat the gimmick hat. Let's talk about NXT. What's going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pals, Pass Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check, with your... what the hell date is it? September 30th, NXT review, go-home show to TakeOver 31. And yeah, people are laughing. It's TakeOver 31 after TakeOver 30. I'm kind of okay with it. With them doing the opposite of what WrestleMania has done, getting rid of the numbers. If they just want to do TakeOver 31, TakeOver 32, TakeOver 33, etc., I won't hate it, especially right now, when takeovers are traditionally named after, with the exception of War Games and with the exception of In Your House, they're typically just named after where they are, and right now they're all in the Performance Center. And shoot me if you want, I wouldn't mind if they did this in the Thunderdome, just for something a bit different. Now, not a permanent change, not a week-to-week change and all that sort of thing, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But naming it TakeOver 31... is it a little bland? Is it a little just... Is it like air and butter, like Russell Brand would say? Yeah, it's just kind of there. It's not great. It's not terrible. But I don't hate it as much as some people seem to. Some people seem to... oh, they're just being lack of creative. No, they're telling you what it is. It's the 31st takeover. Technically 32nd, because some people count Arrival. But we don't need to do that. It's going to be a good card. There's some weird stuff that I'm going to talk about at the end that... raises some curiosities and probably makes a few of the AEW fans out there laugh. And you know what? If the AEW fans can laugh, I'm happy for them. I just hope they don't injure any more of their employees. Moving on, going into this week, we knew two more announcements for this show because, oh my god, it's being thrown together, except it's awesome, so shut the fuck up. One of them is Dream versus Kushida. I might as well put it now since we're doing the house cleaning, etc. So hoping to get together tomorrow night to record with Super Sexy Jake DeMarco. So if you're watching this on the night that the premiere goes up, just know that after we click off, when we leave the chat right now, I'm probably going to go record with Jake so you guys can get that pay-per-view on the Friday. I do intend on addressing the Velveteen Dream situation again, because apparently I'm a hypocrite, except I'm not. So let's save that for the podcast. It's going to be a very interesting discussion. For topics like that, I do appreciate having a co-host like Jake who can kind of keep me where I need to be and not doesn't need to turn into another Scene Apocalypse or Naomageddon situation, does it? But yeah, I am going to address the Dream situation again, and I am going to address the differences between that situation and a couple of other situations that a few of you out there seem to think are quite the same that are clearly not. If I can take any positive out of it, I can say apparently Kushida's getting a push, and this is his singles debut on a takeover. So it's unfortunate that he's doing it against his opponent, but, you know, small shout out to Kushida, and we're getting Swerve versus Escobar, which, again, going back to the preview series that I do with Jake, how long have we been beating the drum to get that title on a takeover? It was on Worlds Collide. That doesn't count. It does open the door to somebody else that we haven't heard from in a while. But that's a thing that we can talk about at a later date. Speaking of talking about things at a later date, if you are looking at me right now, the pretty sexy face of the gimmick hat, you want to catch me in an audio platform instead because you don't think it's a pretty face and you don't like the gimmick hat, go to Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, all your other favorite places. I mean, go to Anchor directly because that's where all my shit goes. Search for the Spaz Phoenix Podcast. If you are out there in audio land right now, if you want to find me in a video platform, if you want to see the pretty sexy face and you want to see the gimmick hat, youtube.com/C/SpazPhoenix. Find me on Twitter at SpazPhoenix and at SpazPhoenix1. I'm keeping both of them because the censors are running wild on Twitter right now. The American election season really just has, and I'm not going to get into that, trust me, but the pumpkin versus the clown is not something I want to talk about on this channel, but it is making the censors go absolutely Tourette's on Twitter, so I am keeping both of my accounts. I guarantee you one of them's going to be shut down. Instagram, at Spaz Phoenix. Go to Facebook, look up the Spaz Phoenix Facebook, or Spaz Phoenix Podcast Facebook group. I can speak, I swear. And go back and check out what aired on Monday, which was my review of NXT UK. Second week reviewing the show. It's going well. I think I've settled more on the fact that the previous week's episode is going to air the following Monday before Raw. I think trying to get it out before SmackDown, the way my week goes, and I'm not going to get into the minutiae of that, but the way my week goes, typically I don't think that the Friday night live stream of that is going to work. So it's probably going to be for the foreseeable future. If I do an NXT UK review, it's going to go out the following Monday before Raw. On that note, though, I really do want to encourage you guys to go and check out last week's episode of NXT UK if you haven't. I know it's weird. There's no audience. It's at a very stage one thing right now. The NXT UK Women's Championship match between Kay Lee Ray and Piper Niven is something I think you should go back and check out. If you haven't, if you're not familiar with Piper Niven specifically and you don't know why people like me, people like Jake, etc., talk her up so much, go check out that match. She was in the challenger's role, and yeah. And Kay Lee Ray is an awesome, bitchy champion for a character like Piper Niven. And the match was really, really, really good. And Piper Niven just underscores why we don't need Nia Jax in the WWE. But I've beaten that over the head more times than I need to. Also, speaking of previews and other videos, etc., you guys will probably notice, if you're watching me right now, if you're listening to me in an audio platform, you will know that I did a solo preview for Clash of Champions. That's not a guarantee going forward. There's not a whole lot of people out there really, really interested in talking about main roster WWE. If you want to talk about main roster WWE, I suggest going to either Good Mic Work or the Joe Cronin Show with our buddy Jake, or go to Jake's channel himself. I know he knocks out some stuff from time to time. But because there's people that are either already talking about it or not interested in talking about it, it makes it a little bit harder for me to find a co-host. And for the preview stuff, because a preview is much more of a conversation than just, hey, here's what happened on the show, here's what I think of it. I don't feel the greatest about putting out solo preview videos. So that's not something I'm gonna do a whole bunch. I did do the preview for Clash of Champions because everything coming out of SmackDown was really, really interesting. That ladder match, how good was that ladder match? The whole entire Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, Paul Heyman Universal title situation at the end there was fucking brilliant, and everything in the middle was a bit shit. But I wanted to talk about that ladder match. I wanted to talk about the whole heel Roman Reigns thing and the whole singles push for Jey Uso and all that sort of thing, because I don't get a chance to do that unless I am talking about a main roster show, and I haven't done that in a long time. So I came up, I gave you my 2 cents. I won't lie to you guys, I don't think it was the best podcast I've ever done, because I'm rambling for most of it. That won't be a regular thing. If I feel like doing one, I'll do it. If I can find somebody that wants to co-host on one with me, I'll do it. But that's not anything that's going to happen with any regularity. There's going to have to be a reason for me to do that, if that makes sense. But long enough, we do NXT here. We do NXT a lot here. We do a little bit of AEW. We do a little bit of UK. We do a little bit of main roster. What do we do on this channel other than movies with Kristen, which also didn't happen this weekend because I suck more than anything else. This one wasn't Kristen. We can't even pick on her. This one was me. I couldn't get around to it after Clash of Champions. It just wasn't happening. But yeah, what are you here for? You're not here to hear me ramble about everything else on the channel. You're here to hear me ramble about this week's episode of NXT going into the pay-per-view. We started off with the replay from last week, replay of the Gauntlet Eliminator, O'Reilly getting the win, Dream doing the run-in to eliminate Kushida to get the match. We don't need that match on the card, do we? Put Kushida against anybody else. Anybody else. Candice LeRae winning the Gauntlet, the long run that Shotzi Blackheart had in the Gauntlet. The build that they've got going for Shotzi right now is brilliant. And it's not bombastic, and she's not being rocketed straight to the top. And you guys know me. I am a big, huge, gigantic supporter of Shotzi Blackheart. You know, Destiny Wrestling, check it off on your Spaz Phoenix bingo card. It's fine. I love the way they're pushing her right now. And I think there's another story being told there that again, not to get repetitive, but I'm hoping to get, like I say, get Jake on here tomorrow. We're going to talk about the show. We're going to talk about other things that I think are happening around the show, and it'll be really good. But we had Shotzi Blackheart versus Dakota Kai because they both fought each other in that battle royal like everybody else. I do have to say, I said it last week, but I'll say it again. Them filling out that battle royal with a bunch of trainees just so Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez could chuck them around, to borrow a phrase, like an empty tracksuit, was inspired, because an 11-person battle royal wouldn't have lasted very long, or it would have felt like it was being stretched out. But we got the winner, and we got the runner-up and the runner-runner-up in this match, I think, if I remember the order of elimination correctly. Shotzi Blackheart versus Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai talks some shit to start the match and hits her with a pie face. Double leg by Shotzi. They trade some roll-up attempts. There's a double leg drop by Shotzi doing her whole, like, welcome to the ball pit thing. Double leg drop and an arm breaker. I can't read my writing. It's fine. Slingshot, a single leg, and a modified Indian deathlock by Shotzi. Kai tries for an armbar, arm drag shots by Shotzi, and some forearms in the corner. Choke in the corner by Kai. She does the whole, like, I'm going to do the splits, but I'm gonna put my foot up under your chin and choke you, because that's my excuse to do the splits. Nobody's complaining about that, are they? Snap suplex by Kai, forearms in the corner. Trip into the second rope by Shotzi, a distraction by Raquel, and a backbreaker by Kai sends us into the commercial break. And you guys know me, I've tried to do the picture-in-picture thing. I've tried to pick up on the minutiae and the details of the picture-in-picture, because it's right there. I can't do it because A, it's small, B, American commercials drive me nuts because we don't get it in Canada because they don't love us enough to give us an actual live stream of NXT in Canada. It's fine. We don't need to rant about it again. But between it being on a stream, between it being picture in picture and being pixelated as fuck, if I miss something in the commercial break, we're just going to miss it. And that's just how the world is going to be. Step up drop kick by Shotzi as we come back from the commercial break. There's a corner tackle, a knee shot, a spinning forearm, an enziguri, and a cannonball, all by my girl Shotzi Blackheart. Chicken wing suplex by Shotzi and double knees by Kai. Slap by Shotzi, a boot by Kai. They both trade some forearm shots on the apron. There's a scorpion kick by Kai. Sliced bread number two by Shotzi on the edge of the apron that looked like it killed both of them. Was fucking gorgeous. Trip by Raquel once Shotzi Blackheart gets back in the ring. Immediately, as soon as the trip happens, she's taken out by Ripley on the outside. And Ripley gets taken away. Raquel doesn't, but doesn't interfere anymore either, so I guess she served her purpose. Haluva kick misses, quick roll up by Shotzi. Shotzi gets the win. I don't mind this. I really don't, because it was a 2-on-1 as far as interference goes, and literally she countered the other person's finisher into her roll up. So I'm going to call that her finisher for this particular match. I know it's not the case. I know we could do a Simon Miller thing. Oh, bring the countdown, because there's been like 81,000 surprise roll-ups in WWE this year since March. Go check out Simon Miller. He's a lot of fun. He doesn't know who the fuck I am, but go enjoy it for your own well-being. This was a roll-up that worked. It was a small package that worked. All these ends of matches that, you know, the wrestling smarts or the smarks or whatever you want to call yourself out there, the high intellectual wrestling fans, which is almost a contradiction in terms, is it not? Have this list of endings that are just not okay anymore. Like, you get a quick matchbook cover on somebody, you surprise somebody out of nowhere and get them in a roll-up, and it's all these things that are just like you strategically outworked the other person. That's how a legitimate fight would end. That's how a legitimate, like, sports fight. I mean, you're not going to get a roll-up on somebody in the alley while you're running away from their riots, are you? No, that's we don't need to talk about that. It's fine. My point is, all these endings that people have said, you know, you can't do a roll-up, you can't do a matchbook cover, you can't have a distraction finish, you can't have a tie, you can't have a DQ, you can't have, you know, this, that, and the next thing, where if you do them for no reason, they're lame, but if they're done for storytelling purposes, they're just as good as anything else. And I'd be extra critical because it's a wrestler that I really like in Shotzi Blackheart, so I really don't get it. The checklist wrestling fandom is not my cup of tea in the slightest. They do a a double interview in the back. They do a split screen talking to Isaiah Swerve Scott and Santos Escobar, and it all rolls down to Swerve is still living on the fact that he's the only one that has actually pinned Santos Escobar in his WWE / NXT career, and Escobar just says that he won't go away. He's a parasite that lingers, and I know how to deal with people like that. And it's back and forth for a little bit more, but it's just different ways of basically saying those two things. You know, get the fuck away from me, you won't go away, you're like a pesky mosquito, and I'm the champ, and I'm so much better than you. He does call him out, and this did get a little bit repetitive, because we had the exact same conversation happen with some other people later on in the night. He did ask him at one point if Legado del Fantasma is going to be there, or is he actually going to fight like a man, which, I mean, obviously, they're going to be there, aren't they? There's a very specific reason I think they're going to be there, and it's because of something that is lacking on this takeover card. And when I tell you how excited I am for this card and how good I think this card is going to be, despite the fact that Velveteen Dream is on it, the one thing that I think is missing won't actually be that missed, if that makes sense. We see another glitch video. We see another that night vision thing that I thought was a video game last week. It's fine. I'm a moron. We're over that by now. We've been doing this 10 years. We're over the fact that I'm a moron at this point. The glitchy person who says they're coming home and all that sort of thing, you know, it's hard to come home again, and they're riding a motorcycle. This is the thing, right? This is these, you know, when they do these backstage things, just go back to the Shield days when they did their handycam promos. Whenever you see one of these, you figure they're doing it in the basement of wherever the show is. Now, if they're doing it in the basement of where the show is, you didn't need to see them going on a motorbike and going down the highway and showing up at a building for takeover with a flyer and all that sort of thing, because it's happening in the same building. And I know that is the stupidest, most ridiculous little nitpick, because this is like a subset. This is like NXT's version of Retribution, because, oh my god, somebody's coming and who is it? But that literally didn't make any sense. And I've said this before, I hold NXT to a higher standard. Yes, it is the show where a grown man got run over by a plastic tank. It's the show that isn't quite as bad as swimming in fake orange juice, but you can have some silly stuff. You can't tell me that somebody left an arena to go for a long bike ride to arrive back at the same arena to do their... It's and if it's Bo Dallas, I swear to Christ. People are saying it's going to be a couple different things. People are assuming it's an early return of Cross, which would almost make no sense. They're saying it's a homecoming for Ember Moon. If it's a homecoming for Ember Moon, I'm really down for that. Like, I'm unbelievably down for that. Shotzi versus Ember. Ember versus Rhea Ripley. Ember Moon versus our current women's champion would be... just, they ruined her on the main roster. Bring her back to NXT. It's the closest comparison I can make to a homecoming for a character like Finn Balor. So good in NXT and so absolutely wasted on the main roster. Now, they did give Finn Balor the Universal Championship, but also it was a fruit roll-up at the time, and he had to give it away the next night, and they never let him touch anything like that ever again. So, wasted. Ember Moon, wasted. Cool entrances that they could market to sell toys and all that. Bring them back to NXT where they can have really, really good matches with really, really awesome people that haven't been ruined yet. It's fine. I didn't want to go that far. If it is Bo Dallas, I'm going to eat the gimmick hat. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. We see a long... and I hate saying this all the time, we see a long video package on Kyle O'Reilly, and WWE does great video packages. It's him, other people putting him over, it's him talking about his match coming up this Sunday, and what the Undisputed Era means to him, and how they've been real friends for real life, and all that sort of thing, and he makes an odd point about how he's been chasing Balor all over, like, when he was in Japan. Kyle O'Reilly was in Canada, I think. When he got to Japan, Balor was back in the States. When he got to the Indies in the States, Balor was already in NXT. By the time he got to NXT, Balor was on Raw. I don't know if any of that timeline actually lines up, but I don't care. It's a cool, interesting little story to tell, and when we get to the conversation that they have later on, it gives it a little bit more background. You didn't need to do any more packaging for Finn Balor, because Finn Balor is a finished product as far as a wrestler, but also as far as a WWE / NXT superstar. So putting all the focus on Kyle, the new guy in the main event scene, the first time title challenger, was an awesome, awesome move. We get an update on Tegan Nox. And I thought that this was kayfabe. I really did. Because they attacked her the Garganos attacked her before she was able to get into the Battle Royal last week, which is a bummer. And I thought they were just going to build before Candace won. I thought, okay, they're going to build up another little side story. We can have Candace LeRae and Tegan Knox as an additional match at TakeOver. That's fine. But then Candace won, and you find out the real reason that she got hurt. She's torn her ACL. And what can I say about that? They've helped us. They've basically spoon-fed us the story. Tegan Knox fucks up her one leg, comes back to the Mae Young, fucks up her other leg, finally makes her return, goes to NXT UK for a bit, comes to NXT proper, has the big story with Dakota Kai, and has now fucked up her ACL. That's terrible. That's actually legit. And I checked out No DQ on the commercial break and found out, you know, are we doing this for real? Are we doing this for fake? What's the deal? And apparently it is true. Triple H was talking about it on the boardroom call. I don't usually follow that kind of shit, but Triple H was talking about it on the boardroom call and all that kind of thing. Heaping all kinds of praise on her. If anybody can come back from this, it's her. She's already done it twice type thing. But you guys know me, I covered the Mae Young Classic, and I covered that match where she fucked herself up in the ring on live, or not live, but on television, and you can't help but be heartbroken from somebody that just came back from that and knows how bad it is and has to go do it again to now have this is absolutely, absolutely something we have to take 100% seriously, but... Here come the Garganos. They're being interviewed about it. And Gargano said something. Well, you know, there's a word for that. It's called karma. And then he turns to his loving wife and says, you know, she broke my TV. You tore her ACL. It's karma. I love the dickhead Garganos. It's great. Cameron Grimes comes out to the ring. And he complains about winning losing. He wouldn't have complained about winning. That would be an entirely different scenario. And Adam Wilborn on What Culture would be having an absolute aneurysm right now. Complains about losing the Gauntlet Eliminator. Says he doesn't believe that William Regal created it because it's such a banter concept and it's so ridiculous. And he knows that William Regal could come up with something better. And at this point, I lost my feed because I have to watch it on a stupid fucking internet stream because we don't have it in Canada because they don't love us like that and they give us a one-hour condensed version of NXT before SmackDown on Friday because they don't love Canada. Man, we don't need to do this anymore. It's fine. I'm over it. I'm over it. I got over it a long time ago. I am good. I am zen as fuck. When I got my feedback, I genuinely got the idea that he's doing, like, an open challenge, but he's doing an open challenge for, like, nobodies. He brings a guy in, it's a cave-in squash, he's about to call out the next guy. Next guy doesn't come out right away, but he does get tossed through the curtain by Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland still has to do something to make me give a shit about who he is, and the other person in the ring right now is Cameron Grimes, so it bodes well for a lot of people that like Cameron Grimes. Doesn't bode that well for me. Headbutt by Grimes and a head and arm suplex. Heavy, heavy blows by Holland and a mudhole stomp. Mudhole stomp until the referee calls off the match. And I guess Holland wins. I guess we're getting a Grimes-Holland feud. Yay. There's enough good shit going on this show that I can just look at this and be like, eh, that'll be the match I skip. That'll be the match that I write on my notes and be like, eh, it happened, somebody won, it's fine. If the rest of the show wasn't as good as it is, I would be bummed about this because this is just taking up time from other people that I could be seeing. But we throw to the back because I don't know what to do here. Austin Theory is in the back bragging that he should have been in the Gauntlet because he got asked by the interviewer, you know, how do you explain this down run that you're on? And he totally denies that he's on a down run even though he's getting killed every week. Says he should have been in the Gauntlet Eliminator. He would have won. He makes fun of Kyle O'Reilly's video and, you know, how it's taken him 15 years to get where he is. And then he brags about being at WrestleMania, part of WrestleMania at 22. And I love every single time that he brags about being part of WrestleMania 22 because he was such a non-factor at WrestleMania 22. It was just whoever they could get at the time. And then he says, in all honesty, I think Kyle O'Reilly should be paying attention to me. He should be, you know, trying to catch up to me. We have a Kushida video about his match with Velveteen Dream. there's a lot of stuff that's said, you know, he's getting grittier, he's getting back to the real him, he's going to be more hard-hitting, he's going to be more dangerous, he's going to be more vicious. The only line in there that really popped me was, I'm going to make him my stepping stone on Sunday, because I really, really, spoiler alert, that's what I really, really hope happens. I hope, if we have to put up with Velveteen Dream on our television screen, taking up valuable takeover time, I hope it's just him getting his head kicked off. I really do, because I know it's only metaphorical, but that's still a little bit satisfying. Then we had Kushida versus Tony Nese, and Kushida killed him and locked him in the hoverboard lock. I will say, before he put him in the hoverboard lock, he did something, and I put it out there on Twitter, and nobody answered me. For those of you out there that have followed New Japan or have followed Kushida everywhere he's been before he came to NXT, for those of you that were excited that he was coming to NXT because you already knew who he was, what was the maneuver that he did right before the hoverboard lock? Because it looked like he was in a standing armbar and he dropped it back. The best way I can describe it is an armbar driver, and he did two in a row. If that has a name, I would like to know what it is. If it doesn't have a name, I'm going to call it the armbar driver, and it's going to be fine. Tony Nese showing up on NXT, you know he's there to do the job. Lights go purple, Velveteen Dream comes up on the Tron and talks some bullshit. And hey, even though I'm a diddler, I still have a pay-per-view match on Sunday. Isn't that wonderful? Grimes is in the back looking for Regal, wants to complain about the Gauntlet Eliminator, wants to complain about the beatdown that he just got at the hands of Ridge Holland, and randomly runs into Dexter Lumis and stares at him for a bit, and Dexter Lumis stares back, and hands up if you had kind of forgotten that Dexter Lumis was a thing. If you're listening to me on audio right now, I'd like you to know that my hand is the one that's up. Oh, yes. Adam Cole comes out. Adam Cole. No rest of the Undisputed Era. Everybody else that tonight is talking about... everybody else tonight is talking about Kyle O'Reilly in one way or another, video packages and hyping up on commentary and all that sort of. They're really treating this match like a big deal. I'm really happy for Kyle O'Reilly. Again, somebody that I didn't know before NXT, but, like, even if I didn't think that it was going to be a good match, we are really in a situation, you know, this deep into COVID, this deep into, you know, Karrion Kross was their plan for the next foreseeable future as champion, and that got ripped away, so we have to do something. This is going to sound like I'm being really diminutive when I say this, but even if I wasn't excited about the Kyle O'Reilly thing, which I am, I would look at it in a mindset of why not, like, give it a shot type thing. But there's two other members of Undisputed Era that I really thought we were going to see on tonight's show, and we didn't. We're going to talk about that later on. Adam Cole comes out to basically ramble about the Undisputed Era and the effect that they've had on NXT. He's like, they've had 3 solid years of dominance in NXT. The Golden Legacy came true. We all had titles. You know, we reached a point where if you crossed one of us, you knew you were going to pay at the hands of all of us. And then you fast forward a little bit and we lost our titles and other people started to feel untouchable around us. People started thinking that they could step up to Undisputed Era. They forgot that we won the very first War Games match. And then he mentions Austin Theory, who we just saw in the back a minute ago. And he says, you know, you're going to talk the way you spoke about my friend, my brother, my teammate, Kyle O'Reilly, why don't you come out here and say it to my face? Because basically the idea was, why don't you come out here and let me deal with you, because my buddy's got bigger things, bigger fish to fry, etc. Theory comes out to the ramp, stops at the ramp. He says, you've got 2 choices. You can either come into the ring right now and have a match with me or the rest of the Undisputed Era. The Undisputed Era. Not, I cannot speak tonight. It's fine. Either come to the ring and have a match with me, or all 4 of the Undisputed Era can find you and beat the living shit out of you. So it's have a match or get your ass kicked was the choice given, and it was the choice that Theory took, and I thought it was going to be a squash, because, I mean, as much talent as I see in somebody like an Austin Theory, has to do a little bit more to give himself a little bit more of an identity. He was brought in and then quickly brought up to Raw to fill some spaces for a while, and now he's back, and I like watching this guy wrestle. I really do. I want him to do something that makes him a little bit more specific, a little bit more of an individual. But, like, the Raw ingredients are there, pun intended, even though he's not on Raw anymore. But, I mean, Adam Cole is fucking Adam Cole. So I thought it was going to be a squash. I thought it was going to be like, you run your mouth and I'm going to give you a... I hate to say it this way. You ran your mouth and I'm going to give you a spanking. But it really wasn't. Chops in the corner by Cole to start a mud hole stomp and a boot. A neck breaker by Cole. Theory bails out to the outside of the ring, gets a pump kick by Cole on the outside, and then eats the steps, jumping in Suguri on the outside by Cole. Inverted stunner by Cole when they get back in the ring, followed by another snap suplex. Dropkick in the corner by Cole and a grounded side headlock. Forearms by Theory, a back elbow by Cole, a shoulder tackle. Chaos Theory dropkick by Theory. The puns are all over that one, aren't they? They go into the commercial break. We come back. And Austin Theory's sort of taken over for a little bit. And it's like one of those, okay, we're making the kid look good. It's fine. Muddle stomp by Theory, snapmare and a double stomp. A head and arm lock by Theory, a boot by Cole, some rolling lariats, an enziguri by Cole, a backstabber, a pump kick, and an ushigoroshi. Theory blocks the panorama sunrise, hits a super kick and a blue thunder bomb right in quick succession. Love to see it. Both men trade some shots from their knees. It's that we're both tired. It's this point in the match. Cliche. Theory runs into a super kick while he's trying to... I think he was trying to hit a lariat, I'm not going to lie. But he basically ran face first into a super kick. Hangman by Theory on the top rope. Super kick by Cole. Ushigoroshi, last shot. Adam Cole gets the win. Now, Adam Cole, for all intents and purposes, did still own the kid. And I shouldn't say kid, that's derogatory. But in this case, he owned the kid. But he owned the kid in a way that didn't make him look like a loser. Now... why are you talking so highly about this match and so lowly about Velveteen Dream? Don't worry. We are gonna talk about that. It's fine. It's fine. I'm leaving the threads hanging so that we can have all these different conversations at a later date. Shirai and Priest both hype up their mixed tag match that's going to be in the main event tonight. She says a bunch of stuff in Japanese and throws up the horns. It's fine. He tells her she's cool as hell. She tells him that he's not bad. And they both refer to themselves as the Rockstar Champions of NXT. It was good fun. It was like good babyface. You know, we're not really a team. We don't really have any direct relation in the storyline, whatever. But we're teaming tonight. We both think each other are cool. It's fine. Caden Carter versus Xia Li. I like Caden Carter. I like Casey Catanzaro, who's hot as fuck. Xia Li. I don't know what they're doing with Xia Li. Follow Xia Li on Instagram. It's fine. but Caden Carter, Xia Li, they've got this little thing going on between the KC team and Xia Li. And Xia Li's got sort of a heel turn going on, but she wasn't really a babyface before. She was sort of, and I mean this with respect, I have to precursor with that, but like they didn't really give her anything to do. They didn't really give her any character, so she wasn't like some super babyface. So I struggle with how much of a heel turn it actually is. But I mean, the match went a couple of minutes. Carter got the win. She tried again to show her some sportsmanship, help her up out of the corner, etc. She got shoved off and just pulled like a sore loser thing. Caden Carter's great. Casey Catanzaro is great. I want them to get involved in the women's tag team title scenario. I want a couple of other people, we can talk about at a later date, to get involved in that women's tag team title scenario so that NXT, I've said it before, I'll say it again, Spaz Phoenix Bingo, bring those titles to NXT so that they can save them like they saved the Cruiserweight Championship. It'll be fine. Shawn Michaels hosting Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly in conversation before their match this Sunday. And this was really good for three guys sitting at a table in front of nobody. It all starts with a handshake. Congratulations from Finn. Lots of respect from Kyle. HBK has a lot of praise for both guys. Obviously, Balor talks up Kyle. Kyle is a big fan of Finn Balor, but you know, you're the fighting champion. You've got the belt. You're going to come in there with all the bluster and put all your challengers down. I get it. Whatever. Balor asks him if the Undisputed Era is going to be there. He says no. Shawn Michaels asks if he becomes champion, is it going to cause problems between him and Adam Cole? He says no. Both men really, as the conversation goes, I it's hard to put into words unless you just go and watch the conversation, but the two of them just get more and more and more passive-aggressive. Kyle goes on this little bit of a diatribe denouncing anybody that's calling him an underdog in this match, and it ends off with Finn Balor giving him a lot of credit in a backhanded way. He's like, you know, you're a great guy, you're charismatic, the fans love you, and you're really good in the ring. He says good, not great, which is a thing. He says you're good, and let me tell you something, you have everything you need to become NXT champion if that belt wasn't around my waist. And that's how it ends. And it wasn't the typical cliche main roster, you know, shouty, you know, the host has to leave, we're flipping tables and all that kind of thing. It wasn't. It was so subdued and all the more effective for it. I sound like I'm sort of selling it by how unexcited it was, but I kind of am when WWE has taught us to expect, you know, like I say, the flipping tables, the pre-match assault, the, you know, one of the hosts gets decked or something like that, or somebody gets stabbed with the pen while they're trying to sign the contract. This was so the opposite of that. And really simple, you know, the whole keep it simple, stupid thing. And like I say, all the more effective for it. I don't really know what else to say, because I think NXT knew that they didn't have to do anything. It's Balor versus O'Reilly. People that know who these two guys are know the match is going to be great. For anybody that doesn't, or anybody that hasn't realized it yet, here's a little bit of conversation and a little bit of build. If you see it on social media, a lot of people are putting this... I mean, obviously Triple H is going to put it over. Obviously, Shawn Michaels is going to put it over. Obviously, I think... even Vince put it over. I'm not entirely sure. Or whoever runs Vince's Twitter account put it over. But guys on the main roster like AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, other members of the Undisputed Era, other members of the roster are... they're really putting it in. And do I think Kyle O'Reilly's going to win? Big spoiler. No, I don't. But they're getting me to that point where if it did happen... I wouldn't mind. And then we get into the main event. And the main event was great. But I think I thought this match was going to blow me out of the water. It didn't quite blow me out of the water. But it set up both of these matches for Sunday. We've got the Garganos taking on Priest and Shirai. Because we got to build towards the women's title match and the North American title match on Sunday. It's all good. And everybody in this match is good. Indie fans will say it wasn't 5 stars in the Tokyo Dome, and it wasn't 5 stars at Full Sail. It was not 5 stars over Full Sail. There we go. That was really lame. I think I might make that a thing. All four of them get into the ring to start the match. They all brawl. The champs stand tall in the ring. Eventually, everything gets broken down. We actually get into the match. Corner chops by Gargano and a beatdown by Priest. An Irish whip by LeRae and a pendulum kick by Shirai. Low drop kick by Shirai. Priest boots Gargano. Double kicks by Shirai. They do the Andre and Snuka spot. Shirai did... I think it was supposed to be a crossbody, but it didn't quite make it into a crossbody. But she was in the ring... off the shoulders of Damian Priest onto both of the Garganos on the outside. It was a decent enough spot. And the thing is, going back to the promo that we talked about earlier, Priest and Shirai both look like they're having a blast in this match. And I've always said, take away the story, take away the characters, take away who you like, who you don't like. If you can tell the wrestlers in the match are having a good time, you will have a better time watching the match. That's just a fact. Coming back from the commercial break, there's a standing neckbreaker by LeRae, an uppercut by Shirai, and a back suplex. A series of one-punch knockdowns by Priest on Gargano, a boot by Gargano, a tornado flatliner, and an enziguri. Springboard dropkick by Shirai, followed by a crippler crossface, a facebuster by LeRae, and a senton, a backbreaker by Shirai. Moonsault by Shirai onto Gargano. LeRae hits a low blow on Priest. So, you know... men face the men, women face the women, except when, look at the women beating up the men. Never going to happen the other way around, is it? We're all just Ellsworths in the intergender wrestling conversation, are we not? The girls brawl to the outside, Gargano hits the one final beat off the low blow, and they get the win. After the match, there's a backstabber on the ray to Shirai to send the message. Gargano got the pin. LeRae got the post-match assault. They stand tall with their competitors' belts as the show goes off the air. And, you know, that can't bode badly for them on Sunday, can it? Oh, wait. WWE patterns are still a thing. This was good. This was more for... okay. As fans, we sit back and we say, wow, Io Shirai is a cool badass. And Damian Priest is a cool badass. I still say Damian Priest is riding that Brandon Lee Crow vibe all the way through his title reign. And that's awesome. The fact that Triple H got his, like, pointing you know, Triple H goes and gets the picture with everybody as soon as they win their first title, and he does the point, and people make fun of him for that or say that he's being selfish by doing that. And it's like, literally, these are his kids, and he's saying, like, look how awesome this guy is, look how awesome this guy is. Yeah, they happen to do it under my roof, but check out how awesome this guy is. It's fine. The fact that he had to go and find Damian Priest at the hot tub with his women and his belt still in his wrestling gear, it's kind of funny. I don't care. I like laughing at things. You know what else is cool? You know what else is really cool? This coming Sunday, TakeOver 31 is going to be a lot of fun, isn't it? It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, here's what I was saying before. Here's what I was saying that we lost. Here's what I'm saying that we didn't get tonight. And here's what I said about some of the Undisputed Era members being missing. To the best of my knowledge, when they did the weirdness of the oddball tag teams last week and the oddball tag team, whatever oddball tag team won, those two tag teams were going to fight and get a title shot, I was under the impression that Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan were facing Fish and Strong of the Undisputed Era for a number one contender shot at this Sunday's pay-per-view. Now, they didn't talk about the tag team championships at all on tonight's show. They didn't announce a match for Sunday at all, and we did not have that number one contenders match on this show tonight at all. So, I'm going under the assumption that we don't have a tag team championship match on Sunday. And that, it's a bummer in a way, because it's going to put all the bullets in the gun of the AEW fans. Oh, look, they can't do tag team wrestling, except, yeah, we wipe your floor with women's wrestling and it's more fun. I'm sorry. I'd much rather watch Candice LeRae and Io Shirai have a match for that championship, which is probably one of the most prestigious championships in mainstream wrestling right now, than have the Bucks book themselves in a match that's basically them wanking in the ring for 10 minutes. I'm just being honest. Moving on. We do have Dream versus Kushida to get through, and I hope it's the opener. It's the only non-title match, so I really hope it is the opener. Or, you know what, with all due respect and reverence for Kushida and him finally getting a pay-per-view match, if they kick this to the pre-show, I wouldn't give a single fuck. Swerve versus Escobar for the Cruiserweight Championship. Yes, we've said it. We've hit it over the head. We've beat the drum for the Cruiserweight Championship in NXT for this long, and finally we have a Cruiserweight Championship match on a pay-per-view in NXT where it should be. That is really, really good. Now give them decent time. Let Swerve look great. I don't think he's going to win. I'm going to talk about this more when we do the preview. I don't think he's going to win. I think this is going to be even more to establish how great Escobar is, or to build on that faction. We could just have a three. We could not even have a match. We could have them all come out and just have a 3-on-1 beatdown and be like, oh, the match can't even happen because this guy got his ass handed to him. Look at this team. Look how powerful they are. They are a cohesive unit and they do work really well. We remember the 3-on-3 match from a couple of weeks ago. That's all good. Priest versus Gargano is the one. Oh, it was all thrown together. Da 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 da. Calm the fuck down. Gargano's going to go in there and make Priest look awesome as your new North American champion. That's fine. Shirai versus LeRae speaks for itself. And Balor versus O'Reilly is going to be a great match regardless of the outcome. I'm going to talk in much more detail about all of those and all the stuff we're not getting when I talk to Jake. If all things go to plan, you guys know I have to say that, because with me, with my co-hosts, with me even doing solo stuff, things don't always go the way we plan. If things go to plan, and I do get Jake on here tomorrow night, we will break down all these matches in much more detail. I will talk my way around some of the stuff that I wish was happening on this card as well, and just talk about generically, you know, what's going on in NXT, where we are going forward. And please, 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 NXT, please, if the little backstage night vision glitch thing is Bo Dallas, you owe me something. You owe me something for that. Because no. The answer is no. No, leave. Not Bo leave. No, leave. That's fine. It's all. It is what it is. I'm very tired, as is usually my add-on at the end of these videos these days, because life is very, very tiring. But I still want to talk about NXT, because I still think it's the best brand on television. I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation. Keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you later. But for right now, tagging out. Bye, guys.